following takes place between 9 p.m. and 10 p.m. Events occur in real time.
This is the ArenaFan Radio Network. Just push play.
Tonight, I am your host, Tim Capper. I got it right. Yay! 5 weeks in and I get the damn thing right. It's about blooming time. I want to thank everybody for being able to go through our apologies for what happened last week and the problems that we were having here at Live 365. But it looks like we've been able to get everything situated away. I've already gotten confirmation that we are live across the world, whatever. As usual, this week we have very many, many different things to talk about. A couple of things that popped into my head and that were brought to my attention here over at the AFRN studios. And obviously a lot of surprises. Especially on the field this week, but also we had that large, well, I guess we could say it was probably one of the most worst-kept secrets in the AFL, or in, I can't say it's the worst secret. I really can't, the worst secret in, the history of the AFL. Maybe this is something I need to pose to everybody who may happen to be listening or who's joining us tonight in the chat room. And just go ahead and give you everybody a quick heads up. If you do want to join us tonight, you can do so by heading over to the Arena Fan chat room at www.arenafan.com/chat. You can go ahead and join us. Everybody is here in the chat room. You can go ahead and make any comments concerning the show and whatnot. Any questions, hopefully I'll be more than happy to get to them. Because, without you guys, I'd be talking to nobody. I will admit, though, if you happen to miss any part of this, and this is something I'm hearing the reception that we are getting for the new Arena Fan podcasts, or the Arena Fan casts, as we have given them the name to them, are very popular, and we want to go ahead and thank everybody who has downloaded this show on MP3 format and taking the time to listen to the show. I've been getting the download stats directly from our commander-in-chief, Joe Kaufman, and he's been saying that it was absolutely spectacular, mine and then the expert fan that we have also on the podcast. But thumbs up to everybody for listening to them, and I hope you do enjoy them. By all means, just drop us a line here at AFRN. You can go ahead and do so by going over to the link's location over at ArenaFanRadioNetwork.com and contact us. And you can contact either Fran or myself, Fran of Arena's own fame, and we'll be more than happy to write you back. And we'll be more than happy to bring things up. Either way, don't want to go ahead and bore everybody to death. But we do want to get along to other things that we've had this week. And we're talking about it before, and I think we're talking about this being one of the worst-kept secrets in the AFL. And off the top of my head, I cannot think of anything else that was basically known to all fans from being able to see the information that is out there in the media. But as you may or may not know what we were talking about, this past weekend, it was announced that, I think it was like 1 or 2 days before the actual games themselves were shown on OLN, Now I've been told it's not the Outdoor Life Network anymore, it's just OLN. The league signed a contract, and only a one-year contract, with OLN to broadcast games. I think it was an 11-game slate, including one playoff game. Most of them are going to be live. I just happened to see a press release before we came on air that there are going to be one change was already made to the Las Vegas Gladiators schedule. They're moving one game to another day, and they're moving the times to accommodate the OLN broadcast. I will admit, I'm very sad to say that I was not able to see the broadcast, even though I have the Canadian version of OLN up here. It just seemed, this was a very big pet peeve that you can go ahead and you can email a large company, via their email. They say contact us, but yet you don't happen to get a reply. I've done it twice when it came to emailing the Score here in Canada to find out if they were going to have the FSN games on the Score. Got no reply after multiple emails. Same thing with OLN. Now, they are run by TSN, which is the sports network. It's the Canadian equivalent of ESPN. And I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing from them concerning my question, and I just wanted to know about it. Go ahead and just real quick question that's been posed to me here by one of our longtime listeners, Brooke. You can have iTunes. I mean, no, you do not have to have an iPod in order to download the show. You can actually download it directly to your desktop or to your portable MP3 player and listen to the show. So you can, as I said, listen to it at your leisure. I've seen people who are listening to it a couple days later, even though, we're broadcasting here on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. But, yeah, you can listen to it at any time. It's just very frustrating on my part. I wanted to be able to see some of the OLN broadcast. I've been talking about how I've been hearing some talk that how the broadcast itself was actually quite the contrast or the white level, or I'm trying to remember the term and not what. If you don't know why, then no, then don't know. Get behind the glass. Some sort of the contrast was a little bit messed up, and maybe I guess we could a bleaching effect. I guess we can say a bleaching effect. But then everybody keeps talking about their Score bug at the top. I just haven't seen any pictures of it yet, and I hope to be able to see something in the near future. If anybody has a screen capture that I would be able to get a hold of and take a peek down. Either way, I think it's good for the league, and it's information came to us that NBC actually released them, or the league actually released NBC from their contract for those X amount of weeks in order to get this. It also includes, besides the OLN part, more games on Comcast. As you may notice by heading over to the Arena Fan schedules page, you can actually see that there are quite a few Comcast stations that are carrying Arena League games throughout the rest of the season. And I will admit, unless you have a gray dish, as they call them up here in Canada, where you can get a DirecTV dish and have a U.S. a U.S. address, but we're not into that illegal stuff, are we? No. Why would I want to do that? So I probably won't be able to see them this year in as many games as I want to. I've had some good and bad experience so far with the AFL net. But I will admit, and I from what I read in the this week's Sports Business Journal, the stats are pretty good. They're predicting upwards of 10,000 subscriptions. Now, it doesn't happen to say if that's full-year subscriptions or subscriptions per game. That's quite an increase. And the price they're asking for them is not that bad, but I find that you, to really, in order to get it real clear, you really need to have a a cable connection, and that's one thing that's really frustrating me, is that the first game went all well, you know, the preview of the dragons and cats, but it just went, you know, flawlessly, but now, I don't know, and it's not that I'm regretting it, but, you know, it's money out of my pocket that I want to be able to see these things. I'm able to broadcast to you guys, but I can't watch the games that I want to watch, and they're not on television, but, you know, NBC, blah, 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 blah. Just shut up, Tim, and keep going. Okay. But kudos. I want kudos to the league. Kudos to the league for what they've done, and I'm, I said, props, and I'm quite intrigued with this, and we'll see how it goes, and it's only a year-long contract, or not even, really, if they really think about it, but how... You know, they had the same thing with the score up here and whatnot, but you remember, we got NBC, this, it's actually up next year, at the end of the season, so I wouldn't be surprised if NBC does keep it, and I can imagine it would be based on this week's ratings. Now, mind you, they do have a great lead-in. You know, they have had great resounding success so far with the EA Arena game. And, you know, it's on tops of all the charts, close to tops of all the charts, or at least in the top 10, as far as being rented and bought. And we're talking both platforms here, of PS2 and of Xbox. So, if they have a high enough... You know, follow through, high enough ratings, if you get anything higher than a 1.5 overnight, give or take, maybe higher would be nice. Well, wouldn't it be nice to actually see, I mean, I don't think anybody can ever think of us getting a 2.0. It'll never happen, but a 2.0. A rating for the league. And we haven't even, I think we came close year one. I think it was the first year of the Philadelphia Soul, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to go back and check, but I think I'm right in that one. But it's something that we have to think about, you know. I think we've all become very cynical when it comes to the television contract. Enough information gets out there that we see this, but yet it's when it comes to the NBC, we hear conflicting information. We see it's good for us, but... The league say NBC is great for us, but they don't give no buts. I mean, this is NBC who is making an easy bit of change. Now, it's small for NBC Universal, but it's still money that they're making on this league when they have hockey, which is still pulling the same ratings as it did on the other networks. So, Either way. Now, and it's funny, and probably this is a great segue to coming into it. We're talking about having a great lead-in to the game. Everybody's been talking about the hype for the EA game. I will admit, fantastic game, and I talked about it in length, so if you, last week, and if you want to hear about it, you can, the podcast is still available. But, there actually is, and people were complaining that there was not a game for the PC. Well, in actuality, people, there is a game for the PC. Now, probably a lot of you who don't know what I'm talking are probably like scratching your head saying, but Tim, EA said specifically, there's not going to be a game for EA, for the PC for EA, like they do for most of their major titles. That is true. But I also did not say anything about the game being an EA game. Well, if you were to head over to MatrixGames.com, I think everybody knows with the way the Matrix trilogies goes, that it's spelled the exact same way, same as it is like the car, and it's funny, we happen to have a basketball team up here in Montreal called the Matrix, in our ABA franchise. But MatrixGames.com, it is a game done by a Canadian developer, with its rights being sold and being distributed by Matrix Games. It was done by Winter Valley. The game is called Maximum Football. Now, it's not being being touted as an arcade type of game. But if you head over there, you'll see all the information you need. We're not talking Maddox graphics. The graphics, from what I've seen so far, are pretty good. Now, the interesting thing about this game is, though, okay, you can play arena football to an extent. You can play indoor football, actually. And some of the screenshots are pretty unique. Now, mind you, as you know, because of the patent with the Arena Football League, you cannot have the rebound nets. So they have normal goalposts. But the good thing about this game is it is fully customizable. Not only can you play indoor football, you can play Canadian rules, you can play American rules also. But as I said, it's also 100% completely customizable. From your teams, to rosters, to setting up your own uniforms. I've seen one with the help from one of our graphic designers here at ArenaFan, where they actually were able to change the skin for the football, for the indoor version of this game, and it looked like our normal AFL football as we know and love, along with changing the teams, etc., etc., etc. This MatrixGames.com, it is the first one there on the front page. It's actually released today, if I'm not mistaken, and right now it can only be bought through their site. But either way, real quick for information on it, the player salary and basic contract information, 16 individual ratings over and above things like height, weight, and age, statistical categories for passing, rushing, receiving, special teams, defensive teams, etc. User-definable structures allow for a limited number of teams from 1-4 conferences with 1-4 divisions per conference. Free agency, create your own playbook, create and edit formations in place for offense, defense, special teams. A lot of great stuff. I've only seen the pictures of it and whatnot. I think it is actually going to be a very popular alternative to EA. As I said, it's not going to be the same thing here, people. It's not going to be the same thing, so. But from what I've seen, I'm going to give it a shot. So you get to play both types of indoor football. And you can go ahead and create all your teams to be the coach or just watch your team's player. But as I said, from what I've seen, and I do not know the developer for this game. But I will admit, it's a great game, from what I've seen. I haven't bought it yet. As I said, if I'm not mistaken, just available on the market today through their store. So, good luck to them, and if any of you hear about it, by all means, post about it over in our video game section. We'd be more than happy to hear about it. What can you say? I mean, look at what happened this week. You have, obviously every year people hope for parity in the Arena Football League, but you don't necessarily get that. More reasons, one division is really crappy or your certain team is just doing horrible as usual, isn't it? But this year, I do not know it. And now mind you, we're only 4 games in. Now, come on. It's like, come on, Tim, be realistic. What else can happen? You look at how strong, going into this week, how strong Austin and Dallas were in each of their respective divisions. Everybody coming in thinking that, Dallas had, a lot of people, including myself, thought Dallas was going to win in a cakewalk. Austin has surprised everybody, and they're 4-0, and they're still undefeated for the first time since their inaugural season in the league. They're still undefeated. They were able to knock off Dallas in Dallas. Then on top of that, you have teams that look almost unbeatable. You have Colorado, and you have Nashville. Nashville, I think, is one of the most surprising teams, and it all has to do to free agency. And also, you talk about different teams. Also, the West. You look at the Western Division, something we're going to talk about later on. But Utah goes in to Arizona, and Arizona beats up on Rattlers North. Now, mind you, it was only a 7-point game, but still. Then there, as an example, there's Los Angeles. Chicago comes in and basically kicks them to living hell up and down the field. Now, rumors are bound that you had Raymond Filial in Los Angeles. And as you may or may not remember, Filial, who was one of Grand Rapids' best, I could probably say one of their best pickups for free agency in the league this year, was hurt, and they released him. Whether it was a salary thing or not. But he's available. And it's very possible, especially with the way the quarterback situation is going on in Los Angeles, if Raymond were to sign with the Avengers could easily become a very, very dangerous team in the AFL. Not necessarily the Western Division, but in the AFL. Then, you look at, well, I think, probably one of the biggest upsets in league history, and I'm going to go ahead and pose the question to you guys right now, for those of you who may happen to be over in the Arena Fan chat room. And if for those of you who are listening on the podcast, you know, let me have your feedback, whether you put it in the Arena Fan message boards or you send it to us here at AFRN directly. Besides what happened this week in Grand Rapids, you got to admit, one of the best things that Sparky McEwen has done so far in Grand Rapids is to put Chad Salisbury as their starting quarterback. Now remember, this is the same Chad Salisbury who basically was a passing machine when he played for the New England Seawolves. He gets hurt in his rookie season, comes back the second year, plays so-so, they go to Toronto. He does great their first year. But then he gets relegated to backup after he starts playing like crap. He's been gone from a starter to a has-been. He's gone to a great starter. I mean, for Grand Rapids to knock off San Jose, like they did 66-52 in Grand Rapids, before all of, I'm looking on my hand, I think I can count the people on my hand. No, that's a bad shot. I think it's probably could say that is probably one of the biggest upsets in league history. Now, then that's the question that's going out to you guys. What do you think, or do you think, the Grand Rapids upset over San Jose, do you think it was the largest and biggest upset in league history, or is there one that you yourself can come up with also? I'd be more than happy to hear what you guys are saying, because it was, I think, a big surprise to all of us. And, kudos to you guys. You, the fans, you know exactly what you've seen, so. So a lot of stuff happened. I mean, it was a great week in the AFL. Kansas City finally gets on the board, holds Columbus to 24 points, but right now, the way with Columbus is playing, that's not saying much. Also, the Philadelphia-New York game looked absolutely spectacular. And then, as usual, War and I-4. I mean, these two teams are almost dead even when it comes to head-to-head. Going into overtime, and Tampa Bay making a furious comeback to tie it, but then to lose it in overtime. I think probably one of the best weeks I've seen in the AFL in quite a few weeks. Did I just say weeks twice? I think it did. It's like saying the definition of a definition is a definition. What? No. Either way. So I think it's probably do you guys think that is one of the biggest upsets ever in league history? So. Let's see, what else? We got quite a few other things we got to talk about. Obviously, we've got our Week 5 review preview coming up, also with our AFRN Pick of the Week. basically, if I had that music to cue up now, I would. We talk about the Weak West. The Weak West. The Weak West, because that's exactly what it is. And also, I don't know how many of you have been paying attention to what happens. Yeah, I'm sure you don't. Like myself, I only stay in the arena football message board. And usually don't go over to the team-related ones or others. But there's something that's come up that's very interesting, which I hope can shed a little bit of light. And I'll be talking about that a little bit more. So let me go and let's do this. Let me go and take a quick break. When we get back, we will talk about those things. And also, for those of you who have been keeping up, we got the AFL tonight. Pick'em supremacy results for last week. Can the humans overtake the 8-ball? We'll find out when we get back. You're currently listening to AFL Tonight.
You're listening to the ArenaFan Radio Network, www.arenafanradionetwork.com.
Looking to sell your home? Don't know where to start? Well, come visit us at www.cdahomesellers.net. Let me give you that web address again, www.cdahomesellers.net. Canada's Home Sellers, advertising Canada's homes directly to the world.
You bring it.
And welcome back to AFL Tonight. I am your host, Tim Capper, bringing you Arena Fans' longest-running internet show for the past, 4 years, 5 years? I can't remember. I'd have to go back and check my own greeting for AFRN. Question was posed, I saw in the chat room as we were at commercial. How many teams were in the league when the league first came around in 1987? It was actually a grand total of 4 teams. Pittsburgh Gladiators, Washington Commandos, Chicago Bruisers, and the Denver Dynamite. Any more of that information, if necessary, you can actually go and check our history page at Arena Fan. It'll tell you everything you want to know. If you go to the history, you can either click on it directly, or you can scroll down to hover over history and then go down to the franchise chart. It'll tell you everything you want to know. So, don't worry about that. All the information you're looking for is right there. And it's funny, I think it's probably a great segue to go into. If you were talking about how many teams were in the league when it first started, the 4 different teams. Well, for a lot of the newbies, it's been used in a good term here, people. So don't take it the wrong way. For all you newbie AFLers, compared to us AFL veterans who've been watching the league since the beginning. Before, and it just happened, I think it was last week, where Big Bang of Arena Football that happened with the infamous Manila envelope, where it was drawn in there and Joe Foster was checking out the was at the indoor soccer game and got the idea of being able to try football indoors. Well, after that occurred, there were actually two different exhibition games. And the first one being the test game, and the second one being the showcase game. One of our board members, and I don't know his I don't know his real name. He goes by the nickname of DOA Saturn. He's trying to do a major project into looking into and finding information on the original test game. There's not a very many pictures out there, and I know one of our members, I think Bruiser, does have some pictures that are readily available on the net of first year games and of some pictures from the original test game. Or he's trying to actually do some history. You know, there's not much information we have concerning the test game itself. There's no footage at all. You'd think with something like this that if it were covered by ESPN or covered by a local radio, a local station, now mind you, back then it was not, regional television was not what it was today. But if you, I think this is something that it should be in the, in the AFL Hall of Fame. Or the AFL, I don't know. It's, something that should be readily available. So I don't think something that the league would be able to market, if you think about it, considering that they would be able to promote their, the league, the startings of the league, the beginnings. Now, mind you, the second and third years were not as prosperous as they are today before they started selling the franchises. But if you head over to the message boards, you head over to the league history section, you'll go, be able to go thread by, by post on this entire thread of the test game between Chicago and Rockford. Supposedly there were four total teams or three total teams that took part in these four games. There's conflicting information now. But head over there. I'm very interested to see where it's going. And I'm going to be sticking around in the league history section to see specifically what occurs. And it was mentioned, at least I had mentioned in there, that I think that if we could find available some of the original shots taken at the game from the test game, I think there may be a lot of us out there who would like to have a copy of anything that was in the newspapers. I, for one, would love to have that. I mean, the origins of arena football. Think about that, people. I'm sure it's one game a lot of us would like to be able to play. And a lot of the stuff is still what today is. Here's a question. How many of you out there have actually seen a game from early in the league? Have you seen a game, with the Pittsburgh Gladiators? Which that's the team that I fell in love with originally. Have you seen a game played with them? I have a game on tape here from the second season. Pittsburgh versus the Los Angeles Cobras. And also I have one Pittsburgh versus New England Steamrollers. If you watch that and you watch today's game, there are a lot of similarities, some of the similarities that are the same. But then there are a lot of things that have actually changed for the better. So, I hope that they are able to get this information. And from what I was saying in the chat room, the audio may be not that good. I hope this is a little bit better. JStorm. But I think league history like this is something that you don't want to forget about. It's something you'd want to be able to see. As an example, I went to the very last Montreal Expos home game versus the Florida Marlins. They printed this large picture in the Montreal Gazette of the last out, and I went ahead and got a photo reprint of the last out, and I plan on having done it yet. Now, they've been gone more than a year, but I do plan on getting it framed. So I hope that it's history that we'd love to see. And I hope that, either way. So test game, people. Just watch for it. Over in the message boards. I'm looking for something here real quickly, and I know if I don't bring these up, and if everybody talk about that, my audio is so bad, maybe I need to change the way that, maybe my mic just sucks. I've had this thing for a couple of years. I'm surprised I've had it since the first day that I've been doing it. The show. That is. Just can't seem to find it. Sorry about this. It's not my... Talk my... Wow, it's a lot. I can't find it. I'm gonna get smacked upside the head for this. Either way, before we start going, I want to go ahead and bring you up to speed on some other stuff. And it's something some stuff you guys know about, but this is just for first timers who happen to be picking up the show and whatnot. There's a couple of things here at Arena Fan that we have created especially for you, the fan. And one of those things happens to be the AF Points Program. Basically, the AF Points Program rewards our loyal users for being an active part of the AFL and AF2 online community. There are different ways that you can go ahead and earn these specific points in Arena for the AF Points Program, such as you can visit when you visit the Arena Fan website. Right alone there, you get 4 points. Submitted article posted. You can go ahead and actually, anything that we happen to miss, you can go ahead and submit to us. You get everything correct, you're going to get a maximum of 10 points. Go and sign up at Arena Fan, your new user, 50 points right away. You win a weekly fantasy prize, which many of you have done so far through these 4 weeks. You get 500 total points. And there are many other things that you can do, from buying the gold member purchases to winning the game overall. But then you can also spend these points. You don't gotta worry about fussing with all the change in your pocket. All you gotta do is just let us know specifically what you're looking for. As an example, you can buy one of our gold memberships. No ads, people. No ads and added features for a grand total of 500 points. That's it. That's all that it takes. Also, you can get a $10 gift certificate from us for a grand total of 3,000. There's also other stuff that you can check on. Banners will rotate from time to time at the very top of the front page. And if you see the banner for AF Points, go ahead and click on it and check out all the other stuff that you can do here at Arena Fan. Besides that, you got our infamous gold memberships we talked about before, and a lot of other things here at Arena Fan, specifically for you, the fan. Now, you look at, I don't know, you look at what happened this particular week, and we talk about all this particular upsets, and as I was joking before, we are looking at things like, upsets, for instance, San Jose. And one of the strongest divisions that we've had in many, many a year in the Arena Football League is the Western Division. Well, not so this year, and it goes to my joke before we went to break of the Weak West. No, that's not the one that stars Will Smith. This is a movie that actually stars the Utah Blaze, the San Jose SaberCats, the LA Avengers, the Las Vegas Gladiators, and the Arizona Rattlers. So far, this movie, not doing very well at the box office. Each team has basically won a game inside their own division. Each team also happens to be tied for first place. Oh, fantastic, we're in first place at 1-3. If you look at the other 1-3 teams in the league right now, for instance, if you're looking at the Central Division, it puts you in last place. Same thing in the Southern Division, last place. That's the same record as the Kansas City Brigade. And also, if you look in the Eastern Division, last place. Same as the lowly Columbus Destroyers. A lot of these, it's just mind-boggling at the amount of how I can understand Utah. Arizona has had it tough as of late, but San Jose, LA, and Las Vegas. LA sort of makes sense, and that's where we were talking about Raymond Filia before. If Filia does sign with the Avengers, I think LA can easily be a very, very dangerous team. Arizona, for right now, is just having problems winning games, especially over the past 2 years. Then you look at San Jose, you know, two-time champ, always seems to be in the thick of things in the West. I think the last time that they may have had a losing season may have been year one. The West right now is just absolutely deplorable. Most likely it's because of parity. But when you look at the league, you expect at least one of these teams to be pulling away. At the moment, I don't see... I mean, is it possible that this week we could actually have every single team 1-4? Well, it won't happen. We know at least there's going to be one team that's going to be in first place by week's end. And the only reason why is because, if all the other teams lose, you know, between Utah and LA, that could be your actual divisional leader. It's early. Remember the past couple years, the Eastern Division has been the worst division that's been out there. By something that can always increase. You know what I mean? But we'll see what happens. As I said, watch. Filia, I can almost guarantee it. Filia, LA will improve tremendously. For all I know, it just flip-flop. Maybe the West is the East this year. But it's, parity, and it's too early. It's too early to tell right now. Speaking of games, I might as well go and get those out of the way. Heading into week 5 of the AFL. Woo-hoo-hoo! We got, on Friday, 2 good games. Arizona-Columbus. Lord, I don't know which team to pick in this one. Probably the only one that's going to get this one right is going to be the Magic 8-Ball. Probably the way it looks, it all depends on if Columbus can get their starting quarterback healthy. If Arizona plays as well as they did last week, Cedric Bonner is getting better. He did rack up a lot of points this week. This could be probably one of the worst games of the week so far. Kansas City, also on Friday, got Kansas City and Georgia. This is not the same rivalry as it was between New Orleans and Georgia in any way. I think Georgia right now probably has the upper hand on Kansas City, but Kansas City's, they are coming off a high, and I really don't see them holding Georgia to 24 points. Undefeated Austin. Austin heads into Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, I'm sure, is smarting from that loss, that overtime loss to Orlando. I think this is probably the next biggest test for Austin to see if they actually are as good as they are. And the game is also on OLN on Saturday afternoon. Afternoon. A surprising Grand Rapids going into Nashville. I'm sure Nashville is going to have the leg up for this game. Grand Rapids, it is sure they're playing San Jose, which is hurt in the moment. But I think with Chad Salisbury at quarterback, they do have a better chance than they would say in week one. I wouldn't be surprised if Nashville wins this game, but I don't think it's going to be as much by everybody thinks it's going to be. Dallas, Las Vegas, Dallas got sort of humbled last week. I really think they're going to actually take it out quite a bit in Las Vegas, and I wouldn't be surprised if this game is a runaway. L.A. Utah, as I said, this could easily be the game for the leader of the Western Division. I just think that Utah probably has a leg up on this one based on the quarterback situation. You got to admit, Joe Tremaine is quite a pretty good quarterback. They just need to be able to stop some defensive stops. So all the games for Saturday. Sunday, back on NBC. San Jose, Chicago, years past it probably would be a great matchup. I just reminded myself, I need to see if NBC's posted their regional maps over the league site. See which games we're going to be able to see here across the country. Orlando, New York, games not being televised. And then Colorado, Philly. I'm probably going to say this is probably one of the better games of the week. Colorado's coming off smart. And I tell you, Damien Harrell's streak of touchdown catches in consecutive weeks almost came to an end last week until he got his first touchdown in the second half. He only got a grand total of one touchdown. I think the last time he only got one touchdown, I'm trying to remember, I have to go back and check our main stats, but I think it was quite a while ago, at least two seasons. But looking at the matchups here, probably say our game of the week, I think probably one of the best games that they could have gone ahead and broadcast. We're going to go give our thumbs up to the Austin Wranglers at Tampa Bay Storm game on Saturday afternoon. 5 o'clock Eastern on OLN. Want to go and give a quick reminder to everybody. Tomorrow night, in the same Fran time, same Fran channel. I could not think of anything to put here. Madness time. Save Madness time. Save Madness channel. On AFRN. Fran Stinchbury. Midweek Madness. Also known as Arena Zone. Fran comes to you from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern with his unique chat show format. Does include you, the fans, and you, the fans, throughout the entire show. So tomorrow night, don't forget, 9 to 11 here on the Arena Fan Radio Network, Arena Zone with Fran Stutchberry. Don't forget to catch it. Week West, yeah. Let's see if I can find that information here real quickly while I have the information here. I know how to spell Harrell. Wasn't first couple years when he was with New England and Toronto, he went by Harrell? Or was it the other way around? Harrell. I thought it was pretty funny. What? Damien Harrell. And I'm going to go probably back, so we talk about him not the streak almost breaking, and I think it's somewhere up to 55 regular season games, I think. I'd have to do the math. His last one touchdown game was actually week 8 last year versus the Columbus Destroyers. Now that's regular season game. The last time Damien went without, was held without a touchdown was versus, if I'm not mistaken, the Las Vegas Gladiators. Was it Las Vegas back then? No, New Jersey Gladiators, week 14 of 2001. double checking that though. Now, he had some in 2002 when he was with Toronto. So 2002 is the last time Damien Harrell went without a touchdown catch. Week 9 versus the Buffalo Destroyers. Sorry, and then Week 11 versus... That's a game that I was actually at. Week 11 versus the LA Avengers. So that's something to watch, too. Especially for all you who are interested in Fantasy League games. I know... we got a question being asked about Kevin Swain. If I remember correctly, and it's his, for his status this week, the injury report, I think, is released tomorrow. It'll be posted here on arenafan.com. Oh, and by the way, speaking of games, well, this is a horrible segue. Yeah, I'll admit it when it's bad segue. Get off my back. For those of you who are keeping track, so some of you who may not be, we here at AL Tonight try to do stuff, original stuff, whether it is our own idea or stolen from somebody else. Either way, this year we are doing the AFL Tonight Pick'em Supremacy contest. Two humans versus the Magic 8 Ball. And it is myself and Tom Ando from TouchdownInc.com versus a Magic 8 Ball. Hey, this Magic 8 Ball guy is so hard to get an interview with. It's like he has nothing to say. It always seems he has a lot of liquid on the brain. Bad joke? Yeah. Or he can never make up his mind. He always seems to be wavering back and forth. Either way, coming into this week, the 8 Ball was sitting at 14th overall in the entire Pick'em game here over at ArenaFan.com. And after this week, he's gone up even higher. I mean, who would have thought? Week 4, Magic 8 Ball posted one of the highest ones in so far, at least for this week, at 6-3. Myself and Tom Ando ended up the week at 4-5. The M8B, as he's wanting to be called now, was one of the only people, or one of the only picks for Grand Rapids. So overall in the season, Magic 8 Ball is a pretty outstanding 24-12. And that is good for fourth overall in the Arena Fan Pick'em Contest. Tom's 20-16, and I think this is probably one of my worst starts ever. I'm at 18-18. Curious to keep track? You can do so. Just head over to the Arena Fan message boards and keep up on the thread there, Human versus Magic 8 Ball. If you want to get into this, you're more than welcome to. It will be more than... I think it's probably going to work depending on... You know what? If he wins this thing, we're going to have to make sure that he doesn't do it next year. God forbid we don't include the lucky coin. Anyways... As a human being, I'm pretty bummed that this damn ball is so far kicking our asses everywhere. And come on, would you thought that... Now, this is not like a coin area of a 50-50 chance here. This is, for those of you who don't know, Magic 8 Ball has one of those Dungeons & Dragons dies. You know, that's multi-sided. It's actually has 20 different choice. There are 20 different answers, and we just ask the question, and 8-Ball gives us the answer. Been pretty pretty consistent. I'm getting that signal from my producer, and no, it's not. Well, it was the finger. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up here this week on AFL Tonight. I want to thank everybody who joined us and all of you who happen to download us via podcast. We welcome you. Next week, a lot more things to talk about. And I said, if you happen to miss anything, you can go ahead and download the podcast. We hope to have it available hopefully before the night is up. So enjoy your games this week, people. Back on NBC, let's hope that the EA Arena game gets a little bit of a lift. And as I mentioned to you guys before, check out the other indoor football game over at MatrixGames.com. So for everybody here in the AFL Tonight studios, I want to go ahead and thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. And as usual, make sure you watch the rebounds coming off the net. Have a good one. Bye.
Are you looking for action?
Little screen to Hundon. Picking up a block at the 20. Cut line block at the 15. Changing direction at the 10. The 5. He's gone. Touchdown.
Excitement.
From 31 yards away, Ian Howfield to send the Dragons into round two of the playoffs. The snap, the put down, the kick by Howfield. It is up. It's good. It's good. The Dragons have won the football game.
And emotion.
Graziani back the pass. Three men in the pattern. Graziani sidesteps. He better get rid of it. Throwing it in the end zone. Hail Mary off the net. Caught it. What? Touchdown Avengers. Do you believe that?
You can get that and more each week on AFL Tonight. Only on www.arenafanradionetwork.com.
Oh, if you didn't like that, you don't like arena football.
Looking to sell your home? Don't know where to start? Well, come visit us at www.cdahomesellers.net. Let me give you that web address again, www.cdahomesellers.net. Canada's Home Sellers, advertising Canada's homes directly to the world.
This is the Arena Fan Radio Network. Just push play.
Mission Control, 2049er, transmission concluded.